affirming God, how often do you speak to us, and how often do we miss it? How often do you whisper blessings over us that we refuse to hear? Open our hearts, create space in us to not only hear these words, but to believe the good news. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Listen for the word of the Lord. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or distray on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the Lord, knowledge of the Lord, as the waters over the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
This is one of those points in the liturgical season when I get it, but not really. The scripture is selected because it's John preaching that Jesus is coming after him, but it's the second Sunday of Advent, looking forward to a birth with a theme of peace. Peace in verses that come right after King Herod killing all of those boys. Peace with John the Baptist, rage preaching in the wilderness about a brood of vipers, but I get ahead of myself. Let's see together what we can make sense of in these verses today from the living word in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you, one of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, surround us in this place. Fill us that we may hear your word, that we may be moved by what you speak to our hearts this day. Amen. An integral part of our worship service is oftentimes misunderstood, and it's often left out by pastors when we want to shorten the service, sometimes even this pastor. The reason it gets omitted is because it has become a time to greet one another and say hi or chat and catch up with that person you haven't seen in a while. Or, look, there's a guest. It's moved away from what its original intent was. So you probably guessed it. This is the passing of the peace. The original partnering of this liturgy next to the confession was meant to prepare the worshipers for communion. It was thought that before one could come and join at the table, you had to confess and ask for forgiveness of sins. And true repentance was a little bit deeper. It was not just a feeling of sorry or I'm going to live by a moral code. It was seen as being in right relationship. So if you needed to ask for forgiveness from anyone, passing of the peace was the time for that. By sharing Christ's peace with one another, you moved into right relationship, and everything was restored. Repentance wasn't complete without turning back towards one another as well as towards God. So as we focus on peace this second Sunday, how does this hairy guy in the wilderness help us at all? Unquenchable fire and a winnowing hook, you brood of vipers, repent. Wait, he's this guy in this funky clothes that are kind of scratchy, eating bugs and wild unprocessed honey, and he has on a belt. Is this Jesus's close friend? We know it's his cousin. Did they grow up together? Mary and Elizabeth certainly seemed to be there for one another. They were close when they were pregnant. John leaped in the womb when a pregnant Mary arrived. So they weren't strangers. Some think they were actually playmates or friends when they were growing up. And some think they lived way too far apart for that. We don't really know all the detail. Others think they were competitors. Many thought John was Elijah come again, or maybe the Messiah. But even John is quick to squash that. I am not worthy to tie his sandals. Yet Jesus comes to John out in the wilderness, a duo to be reckoned with, both pointing to love and peace and wholeness that Christ is bringing. So how is that hairy man, John, in the wilderness pointing the way? How is that kind of preacher leading us to peace? How am I going to ever find shalom with Jesus' soulmate gone rogue? John definitely had some appeal, though. For in most festivals or high holy days, people flocked to the cities. They went to the big temples or to the places to pray. We hear about crowds coming great, great distances to get to all of those city centers. Instead of John going to a temple for everybody to come to him, the crowds do the reverse. They brave the edges of acceptability. They go into the wilderness. They venture through the danger of the fringes, the unacceptable, for the promise that he preaches and baptizes. They flocked to him from the whole region. What does he offer? A different kind of shalom, a wholeness of self and a oneness with God and with others. So what drastic peace is so great that it has this kind of mass appeal? John lives his life with an urgency in an already but not yet that mirrors our Advent season. Is he for real? Imagine he is. So sit back and picture a world where we don't know who Jesus is yet, Imagine a world where nations fight nations, where rulers murder their own families to secure thrones. Picture a world where anxiety has risen to the point where family members can't sit at table together without censoring conversation topics. Imagine hungry children for whom locusts and honey would be a feast and a scratchy robe a luxury. If this world was too easy to imagine, where are we to turn for comfort, for reassurance when the traditional channels are no longer functioning, or where our resources may have gone offline, and the cupboard is bare and the bank account is empty? Do you turn to a preacher proclaiming hellfire and damnation, judgment and fear? Shalom? Why would I journey to John for comfort? Why would I come to this church? In our society, where loneliness is epidemic and division is the word of the day, what are we looking for in Advent? And what does peace mean? Is baptism an empty ritual? Our wildernesses seem all too real. I'm certainly not looking for another. What is John offering? So let's go back to that start with the word repent, for the kingdom is near. Let me add a little bit of nuance to that. You know, I had to go back to the Greek. All y'all, not just you alone. This is a group project. Y'all repent. Y'all transform. This is not you individual reform and you repent. It's all of y'all. John preaches, you, all of you, turn to each other. Turn again to God, for Jesus has come, is coming. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is now. Isaiah tells this fanciful picture of prey laying down with predator, the lion with the lamb. A vision of new peace, a kingdom coming yet already begun. And then John calls out our foolishness because we keep going on and on with our shenanigans and we waste time. Peace can't wait. Now is when we need to turn to God in an active role in peace building. Toss aside our petty visions, pretty visions that are petty. We have this vision in our head of what peace is supposed to look like. It's often whitewashed and watered down, socially acceptable state of agreeing to disagree, to not rock the boat. So we need to dump our half-hearted efforts, and we need to come together in lockstep to build a true peace of a kingdom that steps up for the least of these. The harsh words of John aren't meant to provoke individual fear, but they're supposed to call us out for all of our complicity in injustice. What new path, what wilderness of our day are we called to for a peace that just can't wait? Our Advent study this week lists John as a leader on a pilgrimage. I wouldn't put John in charge of even sanctuary decorations. But peace has to start here for the kingdom work to be possible. This passage calls for us to remember that this sanctuary, these pews, here, where we worship next to one another, that's where the work begins. That's where our transformations and our renewals all start. Can you bring the different thorns in your life, the things that are weighing down your bag? Can you bring them here? Can you bring them for mutual bearing? Do you have a friend who's helping you hold that bag? If things seem empty this holiday season, or life just gets too hard, look around you. Start in this room. This is what the church is called for. this turning to one another. So much about the times that we live in feel anything but peaceful. The wilderness may be within as much as it is without. Where is our sanctuary? Only if we answer "it begins here" is the work outside ready to start. We have to own it in here, and then we can do the kingdom work of peace beyond the walls. Peace and comfort are hand in hand with the purifying flame of the Holy Spirit. As John Burgess says, the preparation of Advent, he calls the church, as it happens, not primarily as self-purification, but rather a way of radical trust that Christ is working to purify us and the world around us to become a dwelling place fit for himself. The hills are made low and the valleys rised up. The hunter and the hunted are at peace. Look for the miracles. The work of the kingdom is all around us now. Do we trust that God is our partner in this work enough that we will join in? Are we on the way to a world that is fit for Christ to come and dwell in? Are we ready? Step up to the challenge of having radical trust to move with urgency towards those who need justice in the world for a place that is really fit for Jesus to live in. So what urgent radical change of welcome or compassion for other are we called to? Where does this fit into my holiday schedule, you may ask? Our lists of things to do that keep growing. We have a part to play. John the Baptist urgently offers hope and peace and a shalom of a changed orientation. In the wilderness together, guided by a man from the fringes on our journey. John is adamant that we're supposed to produce fruit and not simply rest on the laurels of others who've come before. What fruit? John and Jesus both show up out on those edges in the unacceptable and then calling us to notice. They call us, speak up, speak out, build a kingdom where injustice can no longer thrive. If that feels more like fantasy than anything else that we tried to see or imagine this morning, ask yourself why. Don't sell yourself short. Together, we can turn power upside down and flip the tables of peace in the name of the cross. This is Advent. Really? Really? Wait, 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 you might be saying. I'm just waiting to sing Silent Night. Leave me alone with my to-do list to progress through my holiday. And that list is already 10 miles long, Pastor. I'm not asking you to check the lists. I'm a list person. And Silent Night, it is coming, I promise. It's worth the wait because Christ is coming. So John is calling us out into wilderness. Prepare the way. Jesus is coming, bringing peace. So think about all of those items on your lists. And I dare to imagine that many of them have to do with things that center on relationship. They're the things, I know, there's some fluff and maintenance junk on there, but look at the other things. Focus on those, the ones that help us look at each other and help us in this season to really see and be there with each other. Focus on the real of our lists this season. For then we, the church, can turn toward the other children of the world too. The work of transformation that what is all this season is about. The kingdom is at hand, in the year surrounded by the comfort of the peace of Christ. The peace can't wait. May the peace of Christ be with you. May it be so. Amen.